Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I am Sister Tracy.
And I am Sarah Denny.
And we're so happy to be together again today to share this on this particular show. God has just really shown us exactly what he wants to talk about. he wants to talk, I think, through us to everyone about the power of friendship in the Lord, and especially how we are often mentored in our walk, in our journey, or in a way we need to kind of look for people in our lives who can kind of point us, help us aim higher.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting, of course, we've been praying about different shows and different themes, and I have never had more conversations in a short span of time than in the previous 2 or 3 days, just about the gift of boundaries, the gift of, okay, what does it mean that I love myself and I take care of myself? And what do I do when I feel like there's something that's welling up in my heart or some questions? And maybe the people that I'm around most of the time, they're in the same season. So we're trying to figure out those questions together. And I know I need to reach out somewhere kind of look for, you know, a little bit of guidance and ask the Holy Spirit to really guide. But he does that oftentimes through people, right?
So he does.
I know that, you know, the gift of friendship, Sister Trace and I have talked about that. I feel like that's how this show even started, is I would ask her interesting questions. And then we're like, this is not just for us. Like, this is for everyone on the journey, because we're all seeking the truth.
And so often with good friends, like, you know, you bounce things back and forth and you just try to see, like, where is the good?
Yes.
You know, how can I find a mode of being and a way of acting that's going to draw me closer to the goal of my life, which is, for those of us who have faith, the Lord has blessed us with a call.
Yes.
I mean, he's calling us into communion with himself, which is like the Trinity. Mm-hmm. We're talking like the top, you know, to be in this friendship with God.
Yes, a true intimacy and an encounter.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are my friendships, the ones that I'm living? And even, as you said, Sarah, that whole kind of friendship with myself, you know, sometimes we have to like look at ourselves as a person who really deserves my love and deserves my care.
And, you know,
and
sister,
also, go ahead.
Just as you were saying that, I'm thinking you often share something, I feel like, with me and maybe in our show last season. But as we're learning how to love ourselves and to just, you know, see ourselves the way the Lord does, there's something you've shared with me about acedia and just seeing the good. And I think that's probably one of the more difficult things for each of us. But could you explain a little bit again about what that is?
Sure. Acedia is a word that nobody uses anymore.
You're right.
And but the thing is, it's kind of like the hidden demon, because, you know, look at scripture. Every time Jesus had to kind of expel a bad thing, he would say, he would address it by its name or ask its name. So it's somehow, in naming things, especially things that are drawing us away from God, it takes power out of it. So acedia, what is acedia? Acedia, according to a great saint, St. Thomas Aquinas, it's a movement of the soul or of the spirit, you know, you could say that spiritual part of us, that hears or understands that we, as like, or I as an individual, am called to greatness. I'm called to a high destiny. And so there's like a sort of expansiveness about that. You're called to something great. But then, in view of that greatness, you look at yourself and you say, oh gosh, but look at me. I can barely keep track of my Cheerios in the morning, or I'm just a wretch, you know, or I make bad choices or whatever. Look at St. Paul. He says, you know, this thing, I just do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. That inner division right inside of us. So Thomas said that we see this greatness and we see our reality. We see where we really stand in front of it. And instead of seeing it and saying, wow, that's a goal, I'm going to strive to that, this is what happens. Acedia creeps in, and acedia is what he calls a spiritual sadness. Mm. In view of the great thing that I'm called to do, instead of wanting it, desiring, and using my energy toward it, I allow myself to get sad and to give up, and it leads us to despair.
Yeah.
But of course, he says we don't start the vices. So the virtue is courage and moving toward the goal. The vice, the opposite, is an acedia. So he says that the perfect form of acedia is despair, but we don't start with perfection. We start with what he calls despair's children, which is acedia. It's that movement of the soul to give up in view of a great calling.
Wow. And I feel like, you know, if we really stop to think about it, every single one of us, this is a daily thing, right? This is a lifetime sort of conversion that's a temptation that I think arises more than maybe we realize unless we stop to think about it. And that's, I think, our invitation for today too, is each of us, like, what are the situations or things in our lives right now that we maybe aren't as, you know, okay, well, this is a struggle, but what are the things that when you start to think about your movement of your heart for whatever reason is this sort of heaviness and this we can sense that temptation to despair. Do you know what I mean? That sort of like burden that we're like, I don't know that I'm supposed to be this heavy about this situation or opportunity or invitation, but for some reason I am. And yet what's usually happening is there's something wrapped up in it that we know we desire, but there's some lie or fear or doubt even of the Father's goodness that we're experiencing. And so we're like at this crossroads, like how do I choose? And what am I going to choose? Do I choose to believe that my Father is good and that desires my life in abundance? Or do I choose to believe that maybe he's going to hold out on me? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think, you know, as much as it's courage, you know, to do the opposite, the actual opposite, actually, according to St. Thomas, is hope.
Whoa.
The virtue of hope.
Sister, tell us more about that. I'm like, the other day, I remember you saying something about baby steps, and that really struck me.
Yes, that's exactly what the Spirit's telling me too. So this idea that nothing is possible without the help of, as we said, you know, the good Spirit or grace, or sometimes a friend, or just the truth, which we find in the Word of God. So what's the sources of hope? The sources of hope are in the truth. In the facts of things. And sometimes, you know, it's those lies that we believe that can turn us downward, but it's the truth that lifts our head up. So what's the truth? The question is, what do I do to get me a little farther or closer to my goal in baby steps?
Yeah.
Because we can't just hit the goal. I think that's one of the lies, is that, well, you should be there already. And you're like, well, I can barely wake up in the morning because I'm just maybe sad or I'm going through something. And oftentimes we need to really focus on, where do I stand today? And what are the choices I can make today that can actually take me just a little bit closer to my goal? So, you know, there's a book out right now, and there's a chapter in it that says something about, don't compare yourself to things out there, like people or things, but compare yourself to where you were yesterday. And looking
good,
at that,
I need to take it one step
at a time. Have you moved a little bit closer to it? And how important it is to have people that call you into accountability, that you allow them into your life to say, how you doing today? And that you would actually honestly say, well, here is where I stand. You know, how you doing in your spiritual life? I could actually answer that question because I'm attending to it. I'm personally living it, and I'm walking toward my goal.
Exactly. And I think that's the gift of this conversation as we're, you know, talking about boundaries and how do we sort of seek out those mentors in our lives coming to be present to our own realities, right? So choosing and praying for the grace to really see my reality as it is. And instead of what I think is so tempting, and as women and men, but we can so often live in the assumption of what other people are thinking and get really caught up in this just the chaos, right? And yet the intimacy that the Lord is inviting us to is this space where we've talked about, I know, a lot of creating that interior home within myself, as in finding the Lord's present within my own heart. That's where He is. And if I can live from that space, then I can be standing on sturdy, you know, a sure foundation. And and how do we cultivate that? Of course, it's starting first, like we've talked about, with prayer. And but also, you know, sister, do you have any sort of recommendations or tangible things on how to take those next steps? If someone is feeling like, okay, I feel like I'm not supposed to do this by myself, there's multiple options. We can talk about spiritual direction. We could talk about counseling. We could talk about even just, you know, looking around you and seeing who's a little bit older, maybe a little bit wiser. But do you have any sort of tips in that area?
Well, I mean, so much of it is going to be, you know, according to our need. And I would say biggest tip is to put it into prayer. God, please, with your spirit, guide me to the people, to the books, to the word of God, to the encounters today that are going to help me, inspire me to move in the right direction, because it can come from just about anywhere. And I know, you know, my sisters, the Daughters of St. Paul, we've just developed actually a really beautiful ministry that is called My Sisters. And it's all about bringing companionship, spiritual mentoring to people in their day-to-day life, where they can just access sisters' wisdom, sisters' presence, sisters' prayer.
Oh, wow.
Through this awesome community, online community called mysisters.com.
That's
and it's
beautiful.
Just starting out. So I'm really excited about
great.
It.
That's really great, because I think too, just the importance, you know, of knowing that we're not alone, and the gift of, it doesn't matter how long. You know, you don't have to say, okay, I will talk to this person for the next 6 months. Like, it's such a gift of the spirit that everything is, it's just so flexible. And whatever season you're in, we're just inviting you to be present to that season, to ask the Lord to give you the grace and the eyes to see where you are and what your needs are, like sister just said. And then again, to just echo that prayer, Lord, where do you want me to go? To whom shall I go? Even so that the Lord can love on you through these other people.
Amen. And also to have the courage to ask Him for the enlightenment to let go of some things that are really dragging you down.
Yeah.
And just, you know, zapping the life right out of you. So it's both where to go and where to let go.
Amen. Well, we're definitely going to dive more into this. We're going to take our break, but we will talk to you on the other side.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when He said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah. And I'm Sarah Denny, and I'm joined here with
Sister Tracy.
And we, last time, we just started talking about a lot of things, but really about the grace and invitation to come to know ourselves and to realize, okay, you know what? I have some struggles here, but what do I do with them? And the gift that I've had to work teaching high school girls and currently working at Christ the King on LSU's campus and working with college students is they often come, and the beauty of this is they come with questions, they're looking for answers, and they know deep down, you know, I'm not God, so I really don't have all the answers. But what they're looking for is they're like, but where do I go start? Like, they want to find those answers. And so the gift of what we think is important is to make certain distinctions, you know, so when I'm talking with certain girls and guys, in this journey, of delving deeper into, okay, these things are coming up from my past, or these mm-hmm. things are coming up in a current relationship that are reminding me mm-hmm. of my past. And mm-hmm. of course, the answer is always going to be with the Lord. But the gift is that God has given us not just the sacraments and prayer, but this very tangible reality that even with the gift of science and medicine, right, he's given us psychologists and psychiatrists and mm-hmm. just counseling. And so Sister mm-hmm. and I were talking over the break, and we were just, you know, noting that there's a certain gift in being able to distinguish. And I think the question that certain times even I've had, and I'm trying to help someone see what they need, is mm-hmm. when do you perhaps think it's more appropriate to go, okay, I need to look for someone who can help me with spiritual direction? And when mm-hmm. is it perhaps the time you're like, you know what, I think this is the time, not for forever, but right now these things are coming up. I think the Lord could be calling me to be open to perhaps going to see someone who is professionally trained in the area of counseling and help direct me in that way.
Mm, yeah. And I think, isn't it something how, you know, we move about our life and are going our merry way, and, you know, we get the tools we need to deal with life. And then sometimes, like you were saying, you know, something churns up. The best way I could put it is like chaos.
Yes.
where all of a sudden, everything that we thought was in place, or, you know, that we were moving about life pretty well, something gets thrown and we lose our bearings, and then we're trying to like regain a balance. We're trying to put order back mm-hmm. where we feel like everything's been just, you know, disordered, or just chaotic. And that could be, you know, in the way we think. And you gave some really good examples about, you know, maybe it's a relationship where something pops up and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, what's going on? So what's the difference? What should you do in those moments? Well, maybe it's good to just look at what each of those, what you would call maybe a therapeutic interaction or counseling versus, or maybe sometimes in tandem with spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
So what is spiritual direction? I think tons of people hear those words and go, I have no idea what that even means, because what, you know, what is it? So in a nutshell, spiritual direction is where you bring to a person who is a trained spiritual director, because you can have, you know, friendships and conversations with people.
Exactly.
Who are like
the Lord will
spiritual
direct
chat.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a spiritual chat. But spiritual direction is an ongoing relationship of director and directee, in which you bring to that person what you live in your prayer,
mm-hmm.
what happens in your prayer. So spiritual direction is about your prayer.
Which I think that's the key, right? To sometimes,
it is.
Like, I know
it
some
is.
Of my priest friends will be like, people will come, and what they're looking for is they want to deepen their prayer life, but they're looking to Father almost sometimes to, you know, give them that spark to start their prayer life, or they're like, no.
Yeah.
The invitation first is to develop, even in small, like 5 minutes a day, but to actually have that life of prayer where you're trying to go deeper.
Yes. And that's where, you know, the acedia can come in, because you mm-hmm. can say, oh, I don't even pray.
Right.
So, but do you say the Our Father? Maybe tomorrow, remember that whole thing, compare yourself with how you are today. How are you doing with it today? Maybe you just said it today. Maybe tomorrow, when I say the Our Father, I will pay attention to the first five words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to make myself pay attention to the whole thing.
Right.
I'm going to make little goals. And
Amen.
So in that, pay attention to what happens to you, so that if you start spiritual direction, that's what you talk about.
Right.
What happens in you when you go for prayer time? You know, can you be quiet? Can you let your phone stay out of the church? Or do you have to have your phone? What happens? And then that's where you start to see, like, maybe there's things that God says, and he has a pattern of speaking with you, but you kind of get a feel for that when you put it in communion with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's spiritual direction, sort of in a total nutshell.
That was
great. Really cursory, but
no, but that's
idea.
Helpful just to see, okay, so it's that I have this relationship with the Lord. I have a conversation with him in some sense, and I have these things coming up, and it's just the gift of a person sort of walking with you to say, like, let's test that together. You don't have to be afraid of it, but together we can test it, and the Lord will move so that you're always free, right? Spiritual direction is not, they don't tell you what to do if it's
and they're not telling you what God said or what God means necessarily. No.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're just with you sort of testing that. Almost in a sense, I would say the direction is teaching you how to trust your own discernment. Does that make sense? Like teaching you how to know, you know the voice of the Lord, now run with it.
And also that they discern with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they are listening to you, they're listening also to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who might be able to shed more light on an experience that you've had in prayer.
Yeah.
So, but above all, the question is, you know, spiritual direction in that sense is not therapy or counseling.
Yeah.
But what happens in prayer often can poke at things that could then be brought to a counseling relationship or to a therapeutic relationship. But those are two different things. Now, I am not a professional counselor or a psychologist, but I can tell you from my experience what I know of therapeutic and counseling type of interactions. The idea for that is a look at what are those things that, in a sense, sort of block you from freely going about your life in a way that you really can face things as they come. And maybe, you know, there are certain blocks that happen in the day-to-day or even in relationships. Like, you know, you're having a conversation with somebody you really love, maybe a parent or maybe, you know, a child, whoever. And every time you get to a certain point, the communication just completely falls apart.
Yeah.
Either you get freaked out or they get freaked out. Somebody gets really angry, blah, 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 whatever it is. And it sets off something inside of you where there's a rift that keeps happening more and more and more each time. So then that person might say, well, I'm going to try to work on that myself. You use all the tools at your disposal, but you still come up against this difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
It's in those moments that a therapeutic relationship could maybe help you, because what that offers is a person who's completely outside of the situation.
Right.
So it's kind of what you would call maybe a more objective viewpoint, and you just lay it out, and their job is to help you to see for yourself what are ways that you could address you.
Yes.
In view of this relationship. So it's not about fixing the other person. Because tons of times we're like, okay, so this person's a real problem for me. So I'm going to just tell you all about them.
Right.
You're going to hear how bad it is and you're going to be on my side, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but what does that do really to change the situation?
And that's the beautiful thing is I feel like it's that more tangible. It's respecting our humanity, right? We're body and soul. And just our psychology as human beings is so complex. And the gift of having someone, I know one of the forms that they use in counseling, just when they were training me to do some of this at Women's New Life Center, you know, it's called reflective listening. And it is exactly what it sounds like. And it's the gift of someone, and these are professionals, they can reflect back to you what you are saying, not because they're trying to like echo, but more so they're helping you to see like, oh, this is what I'm really thinking. Okay, now do I really believe that? Like what's true here and what isn't? It's just such a powerful, I would say in a sense, it's because it participates, like the gift of science and medicine and counseling, all these things are not disconnected from our faith. Instead, they're very much integrated with it because that's what it means to be human and to live life. And so it's that invitation to allow the Lord to move with his spirit of healing in and through even something like counseling. So, I mean,
that's a great point. That's such a good point.
I just think that's an important thing to remember because it is a gift and it's something that I think, unfortunately, at times we can have such a, you know, a negative connotation. I know I did for a time growing up. I just didn't understand what it was, but truly it's a gift and it's good. And it's something that we need not be afraid of. And then each person, our journey is unique. Our walk is unique.
And I think too, Yeah, there was this whole era of time where it was all about self-help.
Yes, yeah.
Self-help. So it's all about, like, you know, oh, I go into therapy and then I help myself.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I did say that whole thing about, you know, who can you actually change? Well, nobody but you, right?
Right.
But sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah.
And therapy is not so much about you just, you know, kind of like a bulldozer, you know, fixing everything in your life, but in a sense of respect and reverence for everything that you're living, and also with the science of human, you know, experience and growth in understanding the human psyche.
Yeah.
How is it that I am locked in unfreedom, and what are ways day to day that I can work toward and move toward freedom?
Amen.
In whatever the situation is.
And the beauty of that, you know, always to remind people and ourselves, is that the Lord's timing is not our own, right? Mm-hmm. He can heal me in an instant if he wants to.
Yes.
But his mercy is in everything. And the beauty is, like, as the Lord heals us in particular unique ways, it's usually a deeper invitation, not only to intimacy with him, but I've in my own life experience where then I'm speaking to another person, and from that experience, I'm able to speak light into their experiences and their life and their struggles, because the Lord has first spoken to me in this patient process just over time, in however
also,
different ways that he's here.
Yeah. And how, you know, then it goes back to that relationship between spiritual direction and therapy, because that maybe something comes up. You could bring a certain issue to a spiritual direction just in the sense of, you know, the fact that God is working through this to bring you to freedom, and you can praise him for that, but it wouldn't be the job of the spiritual director to then therapeutically, address that issue.
Exactly.
So it's trying to keep the line, you know, but the healing is possible through both means.
Amen. It is. And so allow your story to be one that is your own, meaning let the Lord guide you in whatever ways he needs to. And with that in mind, we would love to lead you in a prayer as we close out our show today.
Yeah.
And the scripture that was really on my heart is from Luke chapter 1, and it's when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth right before the Magnificat. Sometimes I think we just skip over it, but it has so many beautiful things that Elizabeth says.
Yeah.
And so it says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" And so, Father, we just thank you for these words. We just ask your Holy Spirit to pour into us in abundance and joy and in freedom. Give us the grace and the gift to see the women and the men that you've put in our lives to walk with us on this journey, the invitation to a deeper fullness, the invitation to be unafraid, to open our hearts, to be vulnerable, to share, to have the wisdom to know when and to whom and how, but also to have the courage to push forward towards the good that we know we are meant for, the good that we desire.
Amen. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to reflect on how it is you call us to greatness and how it is that we can respond. We ask that you give us the gift of hope, that we can put our hope into practice through a life of prayer,
yes,
just asking you for your help. And all this we pray through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us for another show. We are so thankful that you're with us and that you're on this journey. So we will continue to keep you in our prayers. Please keep us in your
always.
Prayers as well. And we will talk with you next week.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.